Well, the Communist Party in Beijing are growing ever keener to dominate the region, and it seems nowhere more so than in Hong Kong. In the past few days, new laws were passed to give them greater power over the semi-autonomous region. The signs for Hong Kong's democratic future appear ominous. Keith Suter from the Global Directions think tank. Should the people of Hong Kong be worried about losing their fragile independence?
Absolutely. China is not honouring the agreement that was drawn up in 1984 between the United Kingdom and China over the future of Hong Kong. So the agreement was that when the territory was handed back to China, which was 1997, that there would be a 50-year period in which yes. Hong Kong would remain untouched, effectively, by China. And yet China is now seeking to impose more and more of its own regulations. Indeed, this weekend we've seen some legislation going through some of the Chinese congressional arrangements yeah. whereby we'll have a new security law which will create a national security agency run by China based in Hong Kong to keep an eye on political dissent and anybody who criticises China.
Oh. Now, the British government's offered special visas to help Hong Kongers get out and resettle in the UK. Do you reckon we should do the same?
The UK obviously is making that offer available because it's the former imperial power. But in Australia's case, it may well be that we need them for their entrepreneurial get up and go.
Well, where could they go in Australia, mate?
I'd be inclined eventually to say that they should go to settle in the rural sector. We're losing people from the rural sector. And when you look at, for example, the study done of the Afghan asylum seekers who ended up at Young, who work in the meatworks there, they've helped transform the town.
I'd like to think they could make a huge difference to cities like Darwin.
Yes, that was the original proposal some of us were making at the time of the Hong Kong handover, that in fact the Australian government at the time should have allowed them to settle on the understanding they'll be settling in Darwin. Darwin has had a bit of a Chinese history, including a former Lord Mayor who was of Chinese yep. descent. So they would have, I think, felt more at home there than possibly in the rural sector. Certainly, I think that Darwin, we could encourage them to settle there in Darwin.
So can we afford, mate, to upset Beijing by helping Hong Kongers flee?
Well, you know, President Xi may well be saying, well, look, you're doing us a favour by getting rid of these hotheads.
Yeah.
You know, if they want democracy so much, let them go to Australia or the United Kingdom. There'd be less of a problem for him. Clearly, from China's point of view, Hong Kong is becoming a major headache. It was very important for the mainland Chinese economy. It's not now. China has developed its own trading links. But nonetheless, it attracts a lot of Western media coverage. And when you get people who are saying, should we invest in mainland China, they'll say yes, but is it a safe place to invest because of look what goes on in Hong Kong?
I'm talking with Keith Suter from the Global Directions think tank. The worries in Beijing's diplomatic corps have really been behaving almost Trump-like lately. Is their bark worse than their bite, mate?
Oh, no, they do have a very bad bite as well as a very loud bark. This is called warrior diplomacy. There are some movies being made now in China in which Chinese people are the heroes rather than the standard Hollywood heroes from the United States. And these wolf warrior movies are providing, if you like, the role models for Chinese diplomats
yeah.
who are saying we must stand up more clearly. If you go back to the late 1970s with Deng Xiaoping, the idea was that they would gradually shed some of their communist thinking. They'd become more and more westernized. And his phrase was always to sort of move along quietly. Do not scare people. President Xi has now moved away from that. And he says we are going to become much more aggressive. By the year 2049, China will be number one in terms of economic power. By 2025, which is only 5 years away, China wants to be number one in information technology. President Xi is in a position to simply say, you're going to have to pay attention to us now.
Yeah. And there's talk of a new grouping of countries to fence China in. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, this is the quadrilateral proposal. So the quads, which is an on-off idea, it would involve the United States, India, which, of course, in the last few days has had a further border dispute with China. So it's the United States, India, Japan and Australia. If you look at China on the map, and this is what feeds President Xi's paranoia, China is actually fenced in terms of waterways, because it doesn't get easy access to the water. If you're in the United States, by contrast, you can sail to the west or to the east quite easily. But you're hemmed in if you're in mainland China. The quadrilateral, which at the moment is not a military agreement, but the quadrilateral arrangement would enable these four major powers that view the rise of China as a bit of a threat to come together, perhaps to train their forces together, etc., and just be a countervailing power to China.
So, in reality, just how strong is China?
Well, in economic terms, it depends on how you do your calculations, but China is already the number one steel producer, number one market for cars, etc. It is already very important indeed. The problem, though, is that it's an autarkic economy. In other words, it's an economy that is controlled by the government without the free flow of money in or out. And there's a concern that the Chinese economy is actually very fragile, in the sense that there's too much of it is fueled now by debt.
Yep.
So the long-term future for China could be a bit of a problem. It's running out of workers because of the one-child policy. So it's restricted the availability of young workers. It's got immense environmental problems. It's running out of water. It has built lots of infrastructure, which is fantastic, but there's nobody using those buildings or bridges.
Yep.
So it may actually have quite a troubled future. And some people have argued that China may grow old before it grows rich.
God bless you, mate. Thanks for talking to us tonight.
Thank you.